ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः नमो नमः. गुड आफ्टरनून. वेलकम टू द क्वेश्चन एंड आंसर सेशन एज वेल एज द फॉलोड बाय अवर उपनिषद क्लास. नाउ द इट्स अ आस्क मी अ क्वेश्चन. दैट सीरीज वी स्टार्टेड वी हैव वी गेट मेनी डाउट्स व्हाइल गोइंग थ्रू द स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड हाउ टू अलाइन अवर सेल्स to the traditional scriptures. Many questions comes, conflicting message. When we try to read the scriptures, many conflicting messages comes, and one line says this one and another line says that one. How to understand that one? This platform is for the children as well as the adults. Adults, you can clarify the doubts of the children in your house also, so that we are connected to our roots. We can't brush it aside saying that it's a blind belief. Earlier times when we are growing up, we used to say everything is a cock and bull story. There is no basis, just belief. But it's a platform for you to discuss on those belief system you have, and without any conviction you have been believing. Your children may be asking the question which you are not able to answer. Now I will open the platform for you to ask the question. To begin with, who has the question? Nagendra, you said you have a question. What was the question?
I wanted to know about the curse or the shapa, what we say. Yeah. So, how does, is it true? And also, if it is true, even in scriptures it has been written about it. And these days also, we have been hearing about those things. I want to know whether it is something which really happens, or is it your mentally you start thinking about that you did wrong?
Nagendra has a question. Shapa or curse. People used to give curse. Is it effectual or it's just a myth? In English also, people say, I curse you. In English also, they say, if something did not go right, I curse the government. I curse the other authorities. To curse, we should have something, energy. Energy, we say many things. If the weather, for example, this morning was 2 degrees in Melbourne, we curse the weather. Into spring, still we are cursing the divine play. If it's raining, we are cursing. It's in our cricket match, if it is spoiled by the rain, we curse. Our curse has no bearing because we have no stored energy. Curse is when you start doing the energy, sadhana, when you start doing the sadhana, by cursing, that positive energy you accumulated, you are draining it. Draining it. Sometimes, steam engine, time to time, when the boiler is full, they release excess steam, vent out the steam. There is a safety valve is there to vent out extra pressure so that boiler is not burst. Curse is a process. Our capacity is not strong enough. In the form of a boiler, we release the pressure cooker. For example, when the pressure builds up, that weight goes up. So that extra pressure is released. So is when we have done extra energy has accumulated, we do not know how to channelize that energy. It gets out like a pressure cooker, vents out extra energy. Our body, we have not built up our capacity, that extra energy has to be dissipated. In the scriptures, for example, Gautama and Ahalya's story, he cursed Ahalya, his wife, may you become a stone. He had done such a intense sadhana more than his ability. So it was a divine play. He can't hold that one. He had to release extra the punya sadhana. Sadhana, he beyond his capacity, he had done the sadhana. So he cursed Ahalya to get into the stone. But in the case of rishis, even a curse becomes a blessing. Because of that curse, Gautama's curse, Ahalya had a blessing of the sparsha of Lord Ramachandra's feet. In case of the great tapasvis, even if they curse, outcome is the positive. And for them, the extra pressure they have built up, it goes out. For us, we are a short-tempered person. It is another way of venting out extra sadhana. I do the sadhana, but I am very short-tempered. Short-tempered means I have not built up my capacity. I have done extra sadhana. And many people, they say, when they come out of the 1 hour sadhana, 2 hour meditation, when they come out, they are very agitated, very angry. Small things also, they are getting agitated. They are angry and they are purging out extra energy they built because their system is not yet developed. Through the sadhana, be mindful, build up your capacity. Otherwise, your extra sadhana, you went out in the form of anger. You start yelling at us, resulting in whatever extra energy you accumulated, it gets dissipated. That is the shapa, or getting anger or yelling at others. It is a way of purging out. For us, we curse the weather, but nothing happens because we have no capacity. We have not done any sadhana. It is ineffectual. Ineffectual, and we start swearing at when we are going. We wanted to get past that green light, but it became red. We start swearing at this the street light also. However, we may be swearing, but no sadhana, no capacity is there. It is ineffectual. But if you are mindful, even if you have left some punya sadhana, try not to be swearing and venting out your anger. When you are mindful of that one, you know how to accumulate and store your punya. Okay. Now, who's that? Rita has put up her hand.
Namaste, sir. So, I have a question, and this is more of validation and as well as, because sometimes I hear people confused between the two. So what is the difference between religion and spirituality?
The religion is the highway, spiritual is the highway for everyone. Spirituality is your the personal journey. In the highway, I tell the my religion has so many followers. It is a highway for everyone. Some path for everyone, like a jatra, it's a fair. Everyone is traveling. The highway doesn't lead you to the destination. At certain point, you should have a courage to take exit from the highway and pursue your own practice. For that, you need willpower, strength, and you have to be fearless. Many of us are so scared to take exit from the highway. Everyone is traveling, I am traveling. The spirituality, at certain stage, you should have an audacity to exit and find the path for yourself, routine, and religion is mainly for an outer show. Spirituality is not an outer show, inner enrichment. We can't say, I don't want any religion. When you are part of the society, yes, you are part of the society. If you say, I'm not religious, then your children also, they have no faith. And outerly, you be the religious festivals and outer, yes, part of the society you are doing, but spirituality, not to forget your inner enrichment. You have to do that one inner enrichment. Religion is like a container and spirituality is like a content. Without content, container has no meaning, and without the content, religion has no meaning. You need both. Religion, meaning of religion, what brings you together. In a society, when you're existing, you have to be part of the society. You can't say, I have nothing to do with people, I have nothing to do with any festival, I'm all by myself. When you're all by yourself, you'll be isolated from the society. You need both of them. Okay, yeah. And not to forget your personal journey, that is the spirituality.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Yes, and next one, Akshaj.
My question is, in the Mahabharata, how did Krishna and Arjuna first meet?
Arjuna and Krishna meet much before from the childhood. It's Krishna's father, Vasudeva's cousin was Kunti. Okay, Kunti, it's Vasudeva's cousin. Kunti's son Pandavas. They knew each other before that, before they went to the forest itself. Arjuna and Bhima had spent years in Dwaraka. They knew each other. They learnt from Sri Krishna before itself, before they were sent to the forest by Duryodhana. Duryodhana, Varanavrata, before that itself, they knew, they had, because they were cousins.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
And Nisha? Yeah.
Namaste, Guru Bhale. My question was around confrontation. So, say there is difference in opinions in any forum. How to handle, like, what is when do you decide what type of response to give, and what does the scripture talk about this, if there is any guidance or that Sri Krishna would tell us.
Confrontation is a must, not to agree with everything. Always there is a difference of opinion. Agreeing for everything, that means you are not thinking. Without thinking, if you start agreeing for whatever the teacher says, that means that he is not a right student. Student must be able to question, what is that? How it is? Arjuna, whatever Sri Krishna said, he did not stop. He did not just say, okay, whatever you are saying, I totally agree. He used to question, further question. For example, Shri Krishna asks Arjuna to meditate. Arjuna says, meditation, mind control, managing mind is like holding the, controlling the movement of air. It is impossible. It is very, he used to question not out of arrogance. It's a continuous learning, and in the office also that yes, you have to express your opinion, in the otherwise it will be an autocratic dictatorship. You should be able to express, and you should be able to accept the opinion of others if it is valid. If it is not valid, like Shri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Arjuna, I have told these ones, now it is up to you to accept or reject. Yate chasi tata kuru. Shri Krishna did not say you must follow. I have told what is my opinion, now it is up to you to make your own independent decision. You decide for yourself. I have explained this one. Use what is, use your mind and what is relevant. You take it. And if you think it is not relevant to you, you can disregard. In our scriptures, our Shastra never say do or you will go to hell. It is in the other religion, it talks about say as I say, do as I say, otherwise you will rot in the hell. In our scripture never says that one. It gives the freedom to the seeker. Analyze, this is the reality. Contemplate, matana, you contemplate on this one, see what is appropriate for you and take an independent decision. Because we are all travelers, we are in search of our own path. So, when the knowledge is there, if you blindly believe, outside you may be believing, but inside you are sulking all the time. All the time it is saying that no reason for leading a life, only sulking, take an independent decision. Okay? Thank you. And Ashwini, yeah.
So, you know how Krishna cursed Ashwatthama to be immortal? Is Ashwatthama still alive? And if he is, where is he right now?
In Shri Krishna, the Ashwatthama, he was born Chiranjeevi. It's, every morning you should think of seven Chiranjeevis. Ashwatthama Balirvyaso Hanumascha Vibhishanaha Kripascha Parashuramo Saptaite Chiranjeevinaha. Thinking of these seven Chiranjeevis, your lifespan will go up. One is Ashwatthama, second is Bali Chakravarti, third is Vedavyasa, Balirvyaso, fourth is Hanuman, Hanumascha, fifth is Vibhishana, sixth is Kripacharya, and Kripascha Parashurama. Seventh is Bhagavan in the form of Parashurama is still there. Ashwatthama still, the many things you cannot see, they exist in the subtle form. In the next Dwapara Yuga, current Ashwatthama will become Vyasa, he will be the Vyasa, but he won't do the classification of Veda, but he will be the Vyasa in the next Dwapara. Dwapara, he is in the subtle form. Subtle form, if there is one nice book in Kannada, Yella Yogdage Aite, from Yogdage Aite, that in that book it is mentioned many yogis, they are in the forest also, they live like enter into the stone or get into the tree. or they become like a plant in the forest and they want to be in meditation. They don't want to be seen. In that book, it's a very fascinating book. If you happen to go to Bangalore, that you can get that one. Yella Yogda Gaiti. A fantastic book. Krishna Shastri, I think, he has composed about his Guruji. Thank you. And
sir, I think question was, his question was, where is he now? I think
then in the settled form, he is there. That's what I said.
Yeah.
And
I think he would have asked it out of watching the Kalki movie that released recently. So,
okay.
I have a question, unless anyone else has. Sir, in Ramayana, Vali Sugriva characters were there, and in Mahabharata, Arjuna Karna, Vali was reborn as, sorry, Sugriva, Vali is a negative character in Ramayana. He was born as, I don't know, Karna.
Okay, finish your question. Yes.
Sir, I'm trying to reframe my question itself. Something in negative is born as positive, and
To recap, Prashant Bhai is asking, Vali was negative. And how negative can become a positive. In Vali, many characters in Ramayana and Mahabharata gets repeated. In Mahabharata, the characters, all the divine beings are born, negative beings also, Asuri Shakti also born. The war usually happens in the higher region. Those divine characters and Asuri characters came down, that war was fought on this plane. Why it was fought? To bring out the message also. It is not just a family land dispute case. In Vali had a blessing of in the last minute. He had, Lord Ramachandra had kept his head on his lap. And Ramachandra said, if you want, I can give you life back. Then Vali said, please don't. Who will get the opportunity to die on Lord's lap? And Lord, besides, I don't want. In the last minute, only thinking of Lord, he left. The Vali was Indravatara. Next life, he became Arjuna. Because of that one. Sugriva was close to Ramachandra in Ramayana. But he was thinking, because of me, Ramachandra could able to win. Because of that, next life, Suryavatara, he moved away from Sri Krishna. Thinking, because of that, Karna moved away earlier in the previous one. He was very Sugriva was very close to Ramachandra. Next life, thinking that because of me, Lord Ramachandra could able to he won the war, and resulting he was transferred to a different department as a Karna. Okay. Was that the question?
Yes, exactly. What part of his actions made him to be reborn as Karna?
I told you, is it, that he was egoistic.
Okay. But at the end, the arrow that goes into Krishna's feet is again from Vali only, isn't it?
Which Krishna's feet?
Sir, Krishna's fate, when he was disappearing at the end of his life, the arrow goes into his feet.
Yeah.
That's the story that we know.
No, that to complete that one, Bhrigu went out to find out who was superior amongst Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu. So, he went to Kailas. Shiva was with Parvati, did not pay any attention. And when the Bhrigu went and Shiva did not care, and when Bhrigu questioned, aren't you, don't you have any decency, Shiva got very wild. So Bhrigu concluded, this man is getting very angry, so he's not the top. When he went to Brahmaloka, Brahma was with Saraswati, and he did not pay attention to Bhrigu. Then Brahma also was agitated when questioned, so he thought he was not the ultimate. He went to Vaikuntha. Bhagavan Narayana was in Yoga Nidra, and pretending that he was asleep. Bhrigu went there and Narayana did not get up, so he kicked on his chest. And immediately Narayana woke up. My apologies, did your feet get hurt? Started massaging his feet. Master started massaging his feet, not even a bit of anger. So Bhrigu concluded that Narayana is the highest. One who doesn't get angry is everything under control. He concluded, Bhrigu, because he kicked the Lord, and because of his karma, he was born as a hunter. Hunter to redeem, and he pleaded, please come and when Sri Krishna was wanted to go to Parandama, that Bhrigu, as a hunter, he shot at the big toe of Sri Krishna, thinking that it was a deer to redeem Bhrigu. It was Bhrigu Rishi, and Sri Krishna wanted the opportunity to excuse to go back. He had left the body already, Sri Krishna, only the physical frame. Sri Krishna wanted, Brahma came and said, your avatar is over, please come back. Sri Krishna left his gross body, and he had gone to the Parandama, to that big tomb. Bhrigu shot that one it is a curse. Because of the curse, he was born as a hunter and big toe. It was Sri Krishna wanted a reason to go back to his Parandama. In Ramayana says, Arjuna even performed the final rites to that body. The body of Sri Krishna, but in Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says it is his body, Divya, divine body, nobody can touch it. Only for the people to understand, it was just a outer casing, but he had already gone, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvitaha. Sri Krishna says, Janma, my birth and departure is divya. Ordinary people do not understand. And Bhrigu was to redeem his curse. He was born as a hunter, and that is the story. Any more questions?
Yeah. Anupamaji has a
number. Namaste, Guruji. My son wants
to ask. Yes.
Namaste Guruji. My question is, who created yoga?
Yoga, no created. Created is another name for Bhagavan is yoga. Yogo, yoga vidam, neta. Yoga is the name of the God. Yoga means balance. He is always in balance. Whatever he is perfect, whatever he creates is perfect. Whenever imperfection comes, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there is a bit of imperfection, he comes and sets it right. So, yoga means not in the context of what you are thinking, Iyengar yoga, hot yoga, though, it is not yoga. Meaning of yoga is divine, it's a God like a balance. What was always in equilibrium, it is called as yoga. Yoga, for example, on the hot day, hot summer, scorching hot, Melbourne 40 degrees. If 2 days continuous 40 degrees, unbearable heat, to cool it down, rain comes. So, to set the balance right, too hot, rain comes. So, that is also yoga. It is the nature, how it sets the balance, that is yoga. Okay?
Thank you, Guruji.
Any more questions? Yeah,
Pratim, you are unmute. Do you have any questions? Okay, I think
yeah.
We can.
Yeah, Kala, you had a question, Kala, you said.
Yeah.
Anyone?
I have one question.
Yes, Sumana has a question.
Let them all either.
Yeah. Sumana, you want to ask the question?
Yeah, so my question is, your so-called small sadhanas that you are doing, you're trying to meditate, you're trying to do sadhanas. Every day is different. One day you feel you have achieved something. Some days you feel your mind is wandering. My question is, as you said, you continuously practice whatever it is, make it a habit. But how do you know that you are progressing in that path? Because some days are good, some days are bad. How do you sort of feel that, how do you judge that you are progressing in that path? You're on the right track or you're progressing on the path?
The progressing, asking the question, how do you know you are progressing? The able to continue what you are doing still, that sadhana itself is indication that you are progressing. Otherwise, you would have dropped off. So many distractions comes in our life. Somebody I met today, he was saying that I used to come to yoga and something else came in my life and I changed. I dropped off. So, progressing means able to sustain. Sustain when you sit for meditation without na kinchidapi chintayet, not to put a precondition that I have to achieve this one. Not to na kinchidapi, able to sustain, leave it to him. And meditation, whatever practicing we are doing is nothing but if we are knocking at the door, it is up to him when he will open the door. The practice is nothing but continuously we are knocking at the door. We need to have a sincere devotee. Devotee is knocking at the master's door. It is up to the master when he or she will open. The able to keep on knocking itself indicates the bhakti. If a person is not at all interested, he will knock a couple of times and that's it, I will go somewhere else. Able to keep on knocking at the door, that itself is called as a bhakti, that is a guru kripa, hari kripa, then only we can continue. There is a song, Yashtu dhina kadirali ninna bhagilali. How long I have to keep on asking? The devotee is praying. So, able to sit and knock at the door, that itself is a sadhana. Otherwise, I will drop off and start knocking at another door. Not that one. Keep on doing that one. Yeah. Now, who is that? Kala?
Namaste Guruji, Arjun here.
Yes.
Last time you mentioned there will be four births for the soul. One is once the soul enters to the female body.
Yes.
And second one is once the baby come outside.
Mm.
The third one is once the person met a Guruji can convert anyone into the Sattva Guna, whatever is the
Guna. Not Sattva Guna. Yes. Able to, from animalistic body to the human body.
Human, okay.
Yeah, second birth.
That's the second birth. And the last one is the natural one.
Yeah.
My question is, not everyone will come to that the second birth where they can go there, they can meet some Guruji.
Or a master, Jnana. Yes. Knowledge for humans, Aitareya says, the purpose of that one, from just a survival mode, get up and eat, something beyond that one, wanting to know. That thirst, when it comes, that is the third birth. Otherwise, only born and many people, children, they are born and die within a month. So, many processes are not there. That is the process, complete process. As a human, you should become a dvija. Dvi means two. Ja means janana. Second birth. That is the second birth. Second birth. Dvi means second. Ja means janana. That is my second life. Second life, earlier I was born as a animal, no goal, no purpose in life, and everyone is doing, I am also doing. Now, dvija means you realize the purpose. I have to do something, acquire knowledge. That is the third, and
So, you mean to say everyone will come to the dvija stage?
No, not everyone. That also, divine grace is required. Otherwise, they will go into come to the earth and disappear. Go into the last stage directly. Okay. Dvija, not everyone. Unless there is a divine grace is there, that is not, we ourselves have seen, people are not interested. People are not interested, even at the age of 80, interested in share market, no purpose.
Yeah. Thank you, Guruji.
Thank you. Kala had a question of about her sister Bhagya's son or daughter. Yeah.
Namaste, sir. Actually, I couldn't talk to him because they are on holidays. I couldn't talk to them. But I got one question, sir. But I don't know. It's not related to Bhagavad Gita or yoga. Recently, I don't know how relevant is this for me to ask. Recently, I met someone, but two, three times I met them, but I was not known about them fully. What happened was just hi, hello, like that only we used to be there. She was so nice, and then she asked me, how are you, how are your kids? And I felt like asking her the same. I came to know that they don't have kids. I felt so sorry. And just to make her happy, I said, oh, life is beautiful, just enjoy. If kids are there, really, we can't enjoy. Just I told her like that. And then, but inside, I was feeling so sad, Guruji. My question is, in this case, when God is making a balance sheet of my life, where this situation is going to be, will it be credit or debit?
No, you asked for a good reason. And in scriptures, they talk about children means not only the physical children. For example, if you go to a monk and ask that monk, how are your children? They were married. For the monk, the students are his children.
Awesome.
Okay, that children, how you see? For an elderly person, never married, for that person, everyone is his children.
Awesome.
And need not be a physical. Physical child may not listen to your words. Maybe that your physical child may be a liability for you. If you have a very liability child, rebellious child and very negative child, if somebody asks you, how is your child, so you will be very wild. I don't like my child. He is provoking me again, asking me, how is the child? So it is not the how you react that depends, not the person who has asked. That person would have asked without knowing, how is your child? For that person, child is a nightmare. If this person is asking, fear, that person starts very agitated. So, whether you ask that person a question, whether that person was upset or happy, depends on that person. Result is not for you. You did not ask intentionally. Whether that person was upset, it was that person's mind. That person must learn to manage the mind, emotions, not you. You did not ask to make fun or it's a ridicule that person. That is, look after your mind. Nobody is responsible for your happiness or sad. Color cannot make that person happy or sad. If only that person can make that person happy or sad. Okay? Yeah. It's not
Thank you.
You.
Sir. Thank
yeah.
you, sir. Thank you, sir. And then recently, in this Pitru Paksha, usually in our side, we will be doing Hiriyar Pooja. At that time, this my sister's son, he's 7-year-old boy, sir. He loves grandparents and all. He was asking mom that, mom, for at this time we can go to grave. It looks like he saw somewhere or he read the book somewhere or he heard from somewhere. I don't know. He was saying we can go to grave and we can bring our grandparents back. How can this small boy, he will be thinking about all this, and he was loving grandparents actually. And that was another thing. What do you think about this, sir, when a small, boy is talking about all this? And he knows everything about soul, about the soul and all, he knows everything. When he will be talking about all this, sometimes I will be a bit scared, actually.
Not scared, that people, elders would have said, your granddad is sleeping there in the grave. That also, I want to bring that granddad here if he's sleeping. And sometimes that soul, when a person dies, if that person is born again, Aniruddha Sharira, I talked about, it goes in stays there for a while and comes back. Sometimes it leaves, the time it is leaving, another person has died at the same time, so there is no time gap. That soul directly enters into the another person has died just now as it is leaving. Divine providence, that soul enters into that body. A small child born and this soul enters the child born dead. So, when it is there is no time gap left, that soul remembers the past. We hear that child talking about previous life. This was my house in my previous life. And you read that one, it tells about my parents are there. You hear those stories in the paper. When there is no, the moment it leaves, if the small baby about to die, this enters in the, so it remembers. It remembers my past life. There is no, if you stay longer, your past memories goes into hibernation, into the pack. Now, when it's born directly, it remembers the past.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, next one, who is that? Apratim?
One hand up will raise, so I think next we can go to Ashwini.
Ashwini, yeah.
Namaste, Guruji. Recently, one of our good friends, he passed away in an accident. And that too, it was not a big accident, just a cycle to another cycle. It was an electric cycle. And instantly, it seems that he was not responsive. It could have been instantaneous or it could have happened later. So he was kept under life support for 4 or 5 days. And then the family had to decide to take it out. So my question is, he was doing yoga. He was into Isha yoga. He was doing a lot of programs and he was doing regular practice. So what would have happened? We don't even know when he died. So what would have happened at the time? Didn't his spirituality and sadhana protect him? Or is it protect him afterwards? Like that is really confusing for us. What is your thoughts on that?
It's we are born with the prarabdha karma. Soul picks up a suitcase of prarabdha karma. The prarabdha karma is finished. This vehicle is no longer of use. To bring out another set of prarabdha karma, I need different set of equipment, different set of environment, different set of prakriti. Whatever he had, prarabdha karma, it finished. So this body was useless. It has to be from the soul point of it is a body is useless. It is not possible to continue my... I have gone on a holiday with a set of X amount of money. When the money is finished, this I have to return. I can't enjoy. So that person had come with the prarabdha karma. Karma is over. From the soul point, it's not a grief. It's a enjoyable. My one trip is over. Another trip. When Swamiji was, he came to our place. And he was in late 80s. He said, now my prarabdha karma is getting finished. I will go, I'll pick up another the ticket and I will come back. Ticket means another set of prarabdha karma and I will come back. For the soul, doesn't matter. I will just go, I will pick up another suitcase and come back. Okay, from your point of view, you are worried because of your friend, because of that friend's husband, whatever. Matras parshastha kaunteya shitoshna sukha dukkadaha. We, because of our attachment, but from the soul point of view, it is not at all. It is, I finished, I want to pick up another one. Okay, that one.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And... who is that, Nanda?
Yeah. Namaskara, Guru Gale. My question is, I think I have asked you before, I'm not sure, where I work, you know, my students, like, I do teach them to say please and thank you and help during their lunchtime, because some students will like food. They know how to ask, but they don't ask. So I won't give the food until they ask help. So is it... because their soul is like not matured, means, but sometimes they do act like they don't want to say. So do I get cursed from them, or I always pray like, no, please don't curse. I want to teach you that you need to learn the manners. So how this works, Guru Vala?
No, no, you are in a special school. They may not know when to ask and how to ask. Mind is not developed based on the, get the feedback from their parents. What is their lunchtime? How often? Whatever input they give, you follow their parents. Some children may not, mind is not developed enough to ask. So, get the feedback from their parents. What should be the time? And accordingly, and if they do not ask, give a small portion. If they finish, then you can give more. Get the feedback. Yeah.
Correct, Guru. That's what I do, but sometimes they will ask. If they want something to play, they will ask. They will ask my name too, like, Nanda, can I have this? Mm. But sometimes they're so stubborn, they don't want to ask. So I will push my limit. So, but parents are okay. Okay, thank you, Guru.
Thank you. And any more comments?
My son wants to ask one question.
Yes.
Namaste, Guruji. Compared to other exercises, what makes yoga more special?
Compared to
other exercises, what makes yoga
no more other exercise is a time bound. You're playing cricket, you will retire at the age of 30-35. Soccer, you retire at certain age. Gymnastics, you retire at certain age. Any sport, there is a retirement. Yoga, no retirement. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, you are there is no retirement. So its application is life through. That is the one example. And whether you are sick or healthy, young, anyone can practice. And any place for doing the soccer, I had to have a soccer ground. I had to go. Yoga, wherever you are, in a small room also you can practice. Wherever, small room, confinement, or if you are going in an aeroplane, while sitting in the aeroplane seat, you can do practice. So, any place, universal application, adaptability is there, any place, you can do. Okay?
Thank you.
Any more questions?
Sir, I have a question here. In continuing the Sumanaji's question about how do we assess our own progress, when we look at our own practice, we practice based on a specific goal. That's how, you know, that was one of the starting point when we started this training session. The you must have a goal without which you will get sidetracked here and there. Or probably you'll keep going on the same highway without, you know, trying to follow or trying to take a deviation and find our own journey, right? So the question is, without having a goal, if we keep going, how do we still assess our own progress? That is the confusion. I have the same,
And Shweta Ashwatthara Upanishad talks about the indicators of progress. Natasya rogo na jharana mrityo yogagni ayam shariram lagutvam arogyam aloluptam varna prasadam sarasrashtram mutra purisha alpam yoga pravrittim prathamam vadanti. It talks about outer indication that you are healthier. You're not falling sick often. And a glow in the face is there. Luster in the and peace within. And you feel lightness in the body. You're serene. Challenges, you are not getting agitated quickly, and your bowel movement, it's under control, and people start commenting on you are so calm, you are cool as cucumber. So the outer indicator, also these are the outer indicators, if you qualify those ones, that means yes, yoga has helped me. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. And any more comments or we
another Nagendra, may I have last question? Nagendra.
29.
Number 2.
No, I don't have any questions.
Yeah. Do you have an answer? Yeah. Yeah. Any summarize, Nagendra, or anyone want to summarize this session? Any comment? Next week also, we'll start off with Ask Me a Question. And if it is not there, we will roll on to Upanishad. Any comment? Anyone else?
It was very good questions as well as very good answers. I could, especially Ritaji's religion and spirituality, there is a big confusion in India as well, and people have started telling, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual and all those. But I think the definition or the explanation which you gave, it's pretty good. I was just thinking we should make these things as a card or something and try to post it.
Thank you. And if we do not have any more questions, who was that? Sushma had sent a question. I have a question to ask, but still stuck at work. And
that is itself is a question.
A question. Why?
I actually had a question suggestion. I actually have a lot of questions, and I parked my questions so that I can ask next week. But will it happen that we have so many questions that we are not able to go into Upanishads at all this term because the questions will keep coming?
No, it's okay. So, Upanishad means any discussion between the teacher and student, it's also another Upanishad.
Okay. Yeah.
It's also an Upanishad. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our Prashant Bhai, if you can send out a message, prepare, and this is also part of Upanishad, and they can write down the questions, and it's an opportunity to discuss. While discussing, it is quite good questions came out today, and it's an enlightening for everyone. It's a relevant question for everyone. Thank you for all those who took part, and I look forward to seeing you again next week. Chant Om three times. Om.